Now, here's the trouble today. We pray for 100 things, and God helps and heals, or partially heals three of them, and we just crow about it. It ought to be right opposite. Every time you pray the prayer of faith or speak the spoken word, be thou healed in Jesus' name, we ought to have 97, if not 197 of them done, and then we ought to talk about the three. Where did we miss it? What happened? We have three that didn't happen. Well, praise God, He's still on the throne. Now, angels are very busy. God told me to get in my car and go from Miami Beach over to Miami to a conference. And I said, Lord, I'm not much for these conferences and all of this. First thing, I don't get anything out of them. I go hungry and thirsty and praying. But just dead wood somewhere. And raising money and selling things. So I went over there. And right before the meeting started, this is a pretty big place. Three women came over and said, aren't you Brother Humbard? I said, well, yes, I'm Clement. Well, we're so glad we got to talk to you. We're from out of town. We're down here in the Holiday Inn, and we're having trouble with transportation. And they said, oh, look, Brother Humbard up. He helps everybody. Wonder they didn't say that pastor, some of that committee there, or an usher. And I looked and I said, what's the problem? He said, we're depending on you to get us back to the hotel. Now, what I didn't tell you, I came across the causeway with the gas on empty. And I said, Lord, you told me to go, and I'm going. Now, you don't go and blab these things. You just keep them meditating in your heart, or you'll mess up what the Holy Spirit of God's trying to do. I didn't say, boy, I'm going by faith. Now, to that meeting, I don't have gas to go and come back. But, no, keep your mouth shut. Have a divine romance with the Lord, intimacy with Christ. If you have a love life with Jesus, there's a lot of things you don't tell. You don't blab. So I sit there in that service. I said, Lord, I'm about to embarrass both of us. The service started and they just waited and said, all right, we're depending on you after. They didn't give me a chance to say yes or no or maybe or I'll get you help or what. So I had 37 cents in my pocket. And they took an offer and they wanted to come down the front. So I said, well, Lord, this won't get me home anyway, so I'm going to go broke for you. I started to get out in the aisle, and a lot of people coming with gifts. God had anointed the offering, and people just flooded the place down the front. So I was waiting, you know, to be kind. I was waiting, but people just didn't stop. And all at once, I thought it was a lady with a little round face. She came up, and she brushed my hand. And I said, what is this? She turned and walked back. I looked at his $50 bill. I thought, oh, what a miracle. If I can get to this gas station down here two or three blocks, I won't disappoint those Christian women. It's from out of state. And so, just as soon as that service is over, I looked back of me. And I looked in that section. I couldn't find a woman. Then all at once, I spotted a lady. I went straight back there, and I scooted in on the row, and I said, pardon me, dear lady, you have no idea you're part in a miracle here tonight. She says, Brother Humbard, what are you talking about? And I said, the miracle. She says, what miracle? I said, the $50 bill. She said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, you're the only person in this whole section. I watched the woman walk back into this section. You're the only one that has the sort of round face and the size and all. She said, you can believe me, I'm an ominous woman. I have nothing to do with it. And I said, oh, well, pardon me, but thank God. She says, but don't you believe in angels? Now, you may argue with me. You can. One time I needed $320 and needed a meeting. My dad's still alive, and he said, I know you got to fly out tomorrow, and I know you don't have the money, but I've got money for your air ticket. You come and get it, and I'll loan it to you. See, every time I borrowed anything, Dad, hardly ever, I wrote him an IOU. You say, don't y'all trust each other? Yes, but business is business. Then there's no feelings, hard feelings, anything else is clear. So I just said, no. I'm here in Indiana in a big crusade. And God, the night before, opened the eyes of a little blind girl. And I have her picture. Her mother insisted they come to the platform next night. And the little girl went out there and said, this morning, for the first time in my life, I saw a tree. She wept, and everybody in that great audience wept with her. So, God is doing things like this. We're not beggars. We have to remind God. And sometimes in desperation, I cry out and say, God, where is the family of God and the children of God? See, most time, if God wants to supply your need, you don't have to tell the other people. But there's some people walking in the Spirit. You meet them in a service station, and they'll leave a $20 bill in your hand, and then fill up with gas. Usually they don't even talk to you. You say, well, brother, that's because you're a ministry. Listen, we ministers have no corner on God. God wants to bless all of us and have us living in that supernatural realm where He can do anything and everything at any time. So I had to fly out, and I waited and waited the last minute, and I grabbed a suitcase, and it was an old two-suiter. It was white leather, and it had the till in it. They called it men's two-suiters those days. And I don't know why. I'm not clumsy. But I don't know why, if there's anything on this chair here, or my chair, that you can catch on to, or it can rip your finger, I'll be sure and hit it. People go in and out of the door, and I take hold, and my hand's bleeding. The metal came off in my hand. And so when I was used to this, but I jerked that till out of that two-seater, thought, I'm going to have to hurry here. Still didn't have any money. I'm going on the airport. God can send an angel hand you the ticket when you're in line. So, that's not the way He did it. I took out the till, and my finger caught on something, and it pricked my finger. I got out my handkerchief, and I said, well, there's a tack loose or something there. But I remember hearing rustling of paper when I did that. So I looked, before you even thought, I looked, and there was a blue, light blue envelope. I pulled it out. There, I was kneeling in the floor. I counted $320 from a light blue envelope, and I have no idea. Family had no idea. None of us knew where it might have been there all the way from the factory. But, brother, I got in the car and sped to the airport and bought my ticket and got on the plane. And my dad said, what happened with Clement? I had some money for his ticket, and he never did come by. Well, God has ways and means, brother. If we'll just open our heart and our life and live in the miraculous and in the supernatural power of God. Now I want you to go to Psalms 82:2 or Matthew 21:16. Psalms 8:2, 8th chapter, verse 2, or Matthew 21:16, the words of Jesus. He said, in the mouth of babes shall praise be perfected. If I reminded you, the Scripture said all, Jesus said all would be fulfilled. Matthew, the 12th chapter, the end of the chapter, said all things will be fulfilled. Everything will be known and declared on the housetop. And then Luke, the 10th chapter, said that all. Brother, we're going to know, not in sweet by and by, but brother, finally God's going to show us how stupid we've been. How little we know. Are y'all in shock? So Jesus said, in the mouth of babes shall praise be perfected. I was in West Palm Beach, and this young lady here knows who I'm talking about, Pastor Up the Grove, Stan. She was an invalid after an accident. Invalid from the neck down. Pastor Up Grove in his meeting called her out of that affliction and disease, and now for 20 years she's walked like she's walking now. Amen. In health and in life. So, thank you. So, Pastor Up the Grove asked me to come for a meeting. It's a glorious meeting, but the first night the place is packed and jammed. It's a tabernacle. And while he was praising God, Pastor said, now after this one little short course, I'm going to introduce you to Brother Clement. So I'm on the front row. I don't like to go up on the platform and, you know, ministers get up there and look the audience over and all. I like to just stay in the audience till it's my time, you know. And so he said, I'm going to introduce Brother Clement. He said, without further introduction, you just come up, brother, while we're through with this course. And I said, yes, sir. So a gang of teenagers there that they heard about this meeting, and they wanted to go up there that night with us, and we said, sure. So there's a lady on the second row behind us that had a little baby and three or four children. When everybody got through praising God, that baby, 2 or 3 months old, was speaking, praising God in perfect English, praising the Lord like an adult. The mother screamed, She screamed a war whoop, and it just froze everybody. She says, "My God, my baby is talking." It couldn't say, "Da, da, mama." These teenagers with me, they just had a fit. They said, listen, did you? "Yes, I heard all of it." The baby just kept on praising God. About 5 years after that, TBN tells vaguely of some baby in Sweden or somewhere praising God. Well, everything's going to be fulfilled. Now, after that course ended, I took my Bible. Guess what I did? There's not, in 1,000 ministers, there's not a one that would do what I did. God didn't tell me to tell that incident. Every minister run, got the mother, got the teenagers, and going up there, and everybody to shout and yell and hooped and hollered and said, "Boy, are you sure that, oh yes, yes, that baby is talking." And the mother weeping cried, said, "I can't believe this." No, I didn't do that. I went right in the pulpit, and before I got in the pulpit, I started quoting scriptures. I didn't say a thing about the baby. Let the Holy Spirit advertise itself sometime. Let's get out of the way. Trying to prove who we are and what we do. So while I was preaching, there's great anointing. I turned, the pastor sitting behind me, and I quoted three scriptures. "Thus saith the Lord God," and I quoted it. I turned, then the Spirit of God is on me, and I quoted a second. He began weeping. Then I turned and quoted three. We had a great time that night, and I'll tell you why the Spirit of God is there. Many people came for salvation. But after the meeting so-called closed, there's really no... When the revival comes, you can give a so-called benediction. I don't believe in those things very much anyway. I just want to say, "The Lord bless you," and give the ironic benediction and let you go. But after the meeting was over, sinners kept coming in from the parking lot. They kept coming in. They'd go home and turn around and come back for the next 2 hours to get saved. See, you don't have to beg and scream, "Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, is there a hand in that balcony?" Preach the word and get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost do the winning of souls. We try to do everything for God and we get in the way sometimes, a little too zealous. So, that pastor grabbed me, said, "Brother, I got to talk with you." I said, "Come on, it's important." We went through big double wood doors. He locked them. His son came out there and beat on the door. He wouldn't open it. I said, "Dad, you never lock these doors. What's going on?" He fell across the desk and said, "My God, my wife and I, you know, after complete discussion and prayer, we said we was going to quit the ministry. We had three reasons." And said, "When you preached tonight, you turned and you gave a scripture. It settled the first reason we said we was going to quit. Then you turned and gave another scripture." I didn't know anything about this. I never knew it. And boy, he just wept and cried. And he said, "Then the third reason remained. And any one of those reasons is enough for us to stop." And said, "You turned and gave the third scripture." Then I knew what... Oh, I stand in fear and trembling. Suppose I'd have grabbed that baby and gone up there and made a big show. That minister wouldn't have had another 20 years. Now, God could use someone else, but I'm just saying, that minister, no doubt, would have quit the ministry and going out of circulation for God. There's a time and a place for everything. Amen? Amen? Now, in the mouth of babes shall praise be perfected. Not only little baby Christians, but actually babes. Now, this is very important. How many have ever seen Christ? You've seen Jesus. Now, if you see Him, it won't be shadows in a tree or like at Benny Hinn's where there's shadows on the wall. If you just keep on, make it out. There's His eyes. Listen, He's the light of the world. If you see Him, you won't doubt it. First time I saw Christ is 11 years of age. I never dreamed anyone could even see Him. And I saw Him come and circle this earth. And I said to someone, "Don't we supposed to go up in the air?" And someone said, and I was trying to win somebody's soul. I said, "It's not too late." I was only 11 years old. And someone said, "He's circling the world. Every eye shall behold Him. And He's going back over Jerusalem. Then we're going to be caught up." And I said, "Well, that's good enough for me." Now, I was holding a meeting in Orlando, Florida, in the Tangerine Bowl. Now it's the Citrus Bowl. 17-day meeting all by myself. And God was blessing. I was in a huge tent that covered half a city block and thousands of chairs and all. I don't want you to think we'll win the world for God. We're just trying to do our little part. But after service, a glory service, a high platform, the holy hush hits me. Now, sometimes I even say to an audience, I don't know what God's going to do, but just wait here. Hold on just a minute. Then all the way it comes. And I walk down these steps and there's a microphone. I didn't know I was going to do this. I began quoting scriptures. I was familiar with all of them, but I hadn't memorized any of them. And the Holy Spirit flowed through me for 35 minutes quoting scripture. The Holy Spirit, don't you limit the Holy Spirit. It can speak English good as it can Javanese. Did you hear me? If you'll take the book of Acts, you'll find 17 times the Holy Spirit spake in its own language in the book of Acts that people understood. I hate to limit the Holy Spirit in any aspects. So the Holy Spirit came on me. I opened my eyes after 35 minutes, and that big mass audience, no one, they told me, and the little team I had with me said, no one moved. Said the power of God was on you when you got to that microphone, started speaking, and everybody. Some had picked up, you know, their garments or the kids or something else or the Bible, but they just froze. And when I started walking to a prayer room after 35 minutes, I noticed I had 360-degree vision. I'd never heard of it. Now, don't laugh. Glenn will verify what I'm going to say. Our astronauts on the moon have 360-degree vision without any scientific explanation. They see right through their helmets, all around the back of their head. I never knew this till years later after it happened to me. And then Jim Irwin, the Christian astronaut, came to Ohio and visited me, and we talked and discussed these things. But I had 360-degree vision. I could see the platform. We used a big golden harp and a Hammond organ and a spinet piano and all kind of music. I saw everyone. I saw my song director. He knew not to do anything outside of the Spirit. And he's just standing there. He wanted a little signal from me. He's just available. Thank God when people can work with you that way and sense a little bit, you know. So I started walking, and I saw the ushers in their places, and I started walking at an angle into that prayer room. And right exactly out of the middle of the back of my head, I know some of you don't believe this, but I have no reason to tell anything that's not absolutely true. Christ was at the edge of the tent walking. He's in white. He had a golden, I'd call it a sash, through his middle. I couldn't understand then, but later I did understand. His feet didn't touch the earth. He's taken long strides, slow, deliberate, looked like slow motion. And while I was walking, he got closer and closer and closer and closer to me. I didn't have a vision. It wasn't day vision, night vision. I didn't have a dream. I was wide awake even more than I am right now. This is the truth. And I went into the prayer room, and the first chair, no one was near, Christ was right at me. I knelt at that chair, and just as soon as I knelt, He caught up with me, and a hand hit the top of my head like this. I felt it. I don't think anyone's ever slapped me, my head, this hard in my life. And all I remember, I shot up like a cannon. Came to later, and I was lying there. Friend, you remember they said, we want to see Jesus? You remember Stephen? He saw Jesus? Did you know that the heroes of faith in the Hebrews 11 chapter, it said even Moses, seeing Him who is invisible. It's your privilege to live in the supernatural, the miraculous, and you will see Christ. Brother Alinsky was the Assembly of God director of all European missions for many years, he and his dear wife Esther. So he said, I've never invited anyone to come to preach in my meeting unless I know this and that and other about them. But said, you were on TVN and they gave you 15 minutes. Then they begged you for another 15. You stayed 2 hours and the studio started packing and jamming out. All the office force quit and came in and said, they all said, my God, this man's trying to bring revival. I said, you better believe it. But he said, I want you to preach to my church, and I have never invited anyone that I don't know years and hadn't been in their meetings. And I said, well, brother, it's your church, so you do what you want to. He said, come. So the first or second night, everything's going good. I think it's the second night. He is sitting on the front row. pretty nice, large church. And I preached on seeing Him who is invisible. He sat there and said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Well, I didn't know it. I was going to preach. And in a final analysis, we ministers, we'd rather you believe, but it's no concern of ours. If you don't, we're not arguing it. See, if we argue what we preach, we don't believe it ourselves. Any person who argues religion, they're not fully convinced. Because, see, I don't come and say, now I'm one of the Humbards. Here's a phone number. You call and ask Rex if he has a brother and describe me. Now I'm a Humbard. You see Inez, or you see Glenn Miller, first time we came across each other in California in 1946 with Glenn Miller. No. You say, who are you? I say, Clement. Well, what's your last name? You have to pump it out of me. Well, Humbard. Oh, you're one of them Humbards. I don't argue about it. I state it. So I just preached the gospel that night, and he's all bowed up, and he's mad about it. And God blessed in that service. And I said, it's a privilege to every believer. Apostle Paul saw Christ on the Damascus Road, and later he saw Christ. He said, the Lord stood with me last night. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, in weakness I am made strong. And I said, we're not limited. We can see Jesus. So he said, I don't believe that. And he got up that night to dismiss. And guess what? Wham! He went down on his face with his hands outstretched. People left. Ushers went up to pick him up. They couldn't. Next night we got there, and he said, I've got a confession to make. And he started weeping. He said, when Brother Humbard spoke on seeing me invisible, I said, I've never read that. No one's ever written on that, and I hadn't heard any tapes on it. I don't believe it. Well, if it's in God's Word, you better start believing it. I don't care if it's preached or not, or even if it's preached against. So what happens? Next night he gets up and weeps and cries and said, I was sitting on the front row and said, I got up there to dismiss and said, maybe I better talk to Brother Humbard about this, all these strange, odd things. And he said, God hit me on my face and said, ushers tried to get me up and they couldn't. I tried to get up and couldn't. Said, and here's what Brother Linsky, he's a very reputable man. He said, there was a giant foot on my back holding me. And he said, after an hour of that, God said, Bill, you remember when you was a little boy, about 10 years old? You remember the dream that was so real where you and I had a conversation? And he's lying on the floor on his face. And he said, oh, Lord, I remember that. And God said, well, all right, get up. You've seen me. So many people that God uses in ministry or missionary field, if they'll think back, they had a dream or a vision or divine visitation. Not all of them, but many of them, when they were very, very young. And Paul declared his apostleship. A lot of apostles running around today with titles. I don't like all these categories. God sent them in the church. But brother, some of us, I mean, today we might do the work of an evangelist. You meet us a year or two later or in a certain place, we're helping someone and we're doing the work of a pastor. We haven't betrayed our call. The people, you know, I remember a local ministry went to Texas somewhere and come back and said, now I'm bishop and I'm an apostle. They laid hands on, well, baloney. Paul said, but in defense, yeah, the fruit. And Paul said in defense, am I not an apostle? An apostle had to see Jesus. And far as I'm concerned, that is sort of norm of truth. If you're an apostle, you've seen Jesus. Not some shot in a tree or on the wall or something, but you've had a divine visitation with Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. Now, something else that's got to be performed. Psalms 22:22 and Hebrews 2:12. Christ leads the congregation in praise to God. Did you know one of the unheralded ministries of Jesus Christ was to reveal the name? In John 17 chapter, he said, Father, I have revealed the name. The name is not Jesus. Jesus is the name, and that's the person. But the name that God gave him, the angel Gabriel gave him that name. Thou shalt call him Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua, the Christ, Jesus. Thou shalt call, but the name above every name, it is the person Jesus, but the name is beyond the word Yeshua HaMashiach. It's the same person. Don't misunderstand me. But the name, I can't get into it because I'd have to make a 45-minute discussion here and go all the way back to the burning bush and all. I can't do it. But just give me a little benefit of the doubt. You ponder it later. Don't oppose it. Just say, Lord, I'm open. I'm going to listen to it. All right. He said, I have come to reveal the name. It's ridiculous. In the Scofield Bible and others, in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 chapter, they say, when they said, Our Father, that Father was the name Jesus revealed. You'll find God is Father with believers all through the Old Testament. They call Him Our Father. Our Father. It's in the Old Testament over and over and over. God's own people always has called Him Father God in relationship. And I use the wrong expression. Father God, that shouldn't be. God our Father. Don't make the word in holy things Father as an adjective. A Father God. Just say God our... You get it?
Yes.
See, because you make the personal pronoun an adjective, and I think it's more pleasing to God for us to say God our Father than Father God, Father God, Father God. Now, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. Please, please. All right. So, He's going to reveal the name, and then in Hebrews 2:12 and also in Psalms 22:22, He said, I will lead the congregation in praise to God. Now, here we get in an area that people completely misunderstand, and they probably always will. They think when the Holy Spirit gets there and melts our hearts and all the rest, oh, that's a fulfillment of that Scripture. But to me, it's absolutely not. You can have a midweek prayer meeting or something else, and the power of God come down, and you feel somewhat the glory of God and all of that, and you're out of self, and oh, how you worship and pray. I was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The church is packed in jam, and half the air conditioning wouldn't work, and it's 103 degrees, and everybody's doing this. It wasn't my fault, but the service ran to 1:15. They brought all the Sunday school and the church kids in, children's church, and flooded the back in the aisles. Babies were crying. And everybody just... And the pastor had apologized two or three times about the air conditioning. Half of it was out, and it couldn't be fixed, and this and that and the other. So finally, at the end of the service, he said, Brother Clement, come up here and give a benediction. I looked the situation over, and I thought, well, he expects a benediction, so I'm going to give one of these little salutation fall now unto him that is able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, the only wise God be dominion now and forever. Amen. And so I lift my hands, and God's Spirit said, no. And I don't know about you, but it's not easy to be corrected to God. Sometimes it hurts me inside like a bay mule. Like a bay mule kicking. But it wasn't too severe. God said no. So I waited. Then I lift my hand again, started to give a different benediction. God said no. I didn't know what God's doing. So then I made this statement. First time I'd ever made it. Made it since many times. I've written it in the awesome glory. This generation is destined to know the Lord Jesus Christ more intimately than any generation that ever lived. There was complete silence. I had lifted my hands. I didn't give a benediction. That came out of my mouth. You know, this quickly. Every man, woman, boy and girl and every baby in that place. No one started it. It didn't start up and then catch hold. It was instantly, like a streak of lightning, everybody in that place was singing and praising God. I backed off. I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't say one praise the Lord. Like I told you, sometimes it's good for us to get out of the way. And I walked off, and a teenager had given me a watch, said, we know a watch won't run on you, but put this in a pocket. And he laughed. It's just a joke. But I got at his watch and looked. 27.5 minutes that congregation was led by Jesus Christ, leading the congregation in praise to God. Actually, other than individual works, it's the most awesome thing I've ever seen God do in my life. You'd have to be there to know what happened. The pastor ran to me after and he said, Brother Clement, I want to discuss this with you. I said, Brother, I had nothing to do with it and I'm not discussing it with anyone. I'm very sorry. I'll see you later. The phone started ringing. I lived out on Sunset Key at that time temporarily where all those tennis celebrities lived. Phone started ringing. I wouldn't answer it. Then I got a call from TBN. Go to Channel 45 down and see Charlie Quinn, the brother-in-law of Paul Crouch. It's very important. So behind the scenes, I've been doing a lot of things, especially in correction. Doesn't make you very popular, brother. God didn't raise up TBN or any other network just to push a handful of superstars. If you want, I don't know how it is now, but for many years, if you're a local pastor and have a burden for city and want to go on one of their religious stations, first of all, their religious stations sometimes have 3,600 viewers, and one of the commercial stations had 326,000 viewers, not 3,600. They give a distorted view. The Minister of Education wept in Moscow. I'd smuggled Bibles and almost killed a couple of times during the Cold War, but I went back at their invitation, distributing 108,000 Russian Bibles in 8 or 10 days and preaching every night in Sophia Auditorium, packed and jammed out, no heat in the building, and it's 15, 17 degrees in a blizzard, and they'd walk through the ice and snow and then keep their hats and coats on, and we baptized people in water, trying to get them into God as far as we could, as quickly as we could, and we gave them Bibles, and you know what? The Russian men wanted to come back and be baptized every night. In cold water. They said, oh, me. I said, what's this person trying to say? And the interpreter said, he said, it makes me feel so good he wanted to do it again. I said, no, just one time's enough. You say, I'm not satisfied in my baptism. Well, what is not is faith is sin, and it gives a clear conscience toward God. So if you're not satisfied, go on and get baptized again. Humble yourself if you're not satisfied. So TBN said, oh, they begged me. Don't bring superstars to Russia. Bring ministers that no one's ever heard about. Bring housewives and working men and teenagers that really know the Lord. Don't bring your superstars here. It gives a false impression of what Christianity is all about. Great God of prosperity and wealth and limousines. And some of the ministers, I've been with ministers lately, and all of them at the restaurant throw out their arms and they want to show the expensive watch they have. This is a $12,000 watch. I've noticed more and more and more, though, and I don't criticize. Sister, you have jewelry all over you. God, man looks on the outer appearance. God looks on the heart. But I want to tell you, I'd rather my conversation be in eternal jewels, not these things that people wear on their hand. And you don't see jewelry on us, will you? It's not a doctrine. Now, I don't criticize you. If you ladies want to wear double-decker lobs on your ears, but I want to tell you something. It's only 6 inches from heathenism to Christianity. To civilization, because in heathenism they wear the ring in their nose. So TBN calls me down there, and I've been helping. I said, all right, Charlie, what is? He said, let's go upstairs. Went by his office and went to big double oak doors. He said, we never use this office unless Paul and Jan are here. Come in. Big desk and all. I didn't know what it's about. He said, tell me what happened in Fort Lauderdale yesterday. I said, who told you anything? He said, the pastor and some others. We've been getting calls. I said, then you find out from them, not from me. Brother, that wasn't my ministry. I didn't start it. I didn't operate it. I didn't end it. But I know it's a foretaste of Jesus Christ leading the congregation in praises to God. Go on with what we have. Don't just wait till He does that. Let's praise Him, worship Him in spirit and in truth. But sooner or later, you'll be in a congregation and you'll experience just what I'm talking about. Miss Woodworth Eddon, and some of her meetings was a foretaste of this, as 3,000 sang a new song in 100 counterpart harmony, professor said, in her meeting, and said it was, they didn't even know the Bible, two different professors, one writing for the Boston Globe, the other one, Philadelphia Inquirer, way over 100 years ago, and said it sounded like the sound of many waters. We'll go to the Bible, and that's what it is. The sweetest thing you'll ever hear is Christ leading the congregation in praise to God. A 9-foot angel. I turned, and there he was. It's 2 a.m. He didn't say anything, so I didn't. I thought, well, it's 2 a.m. I've been in prayer. Well, let's get up and go up these wide tile steps and go upstairs and slip in bed. So I got on the landing and waited. Then I went on up the steps. I went to bed, and again, I went to sleep just like this. I had a Sony clock that had green letters. It said two, exactly, 2:00. Later, I knew God is doing something because I went to sleep this quickly. 20 minutes later, I heard the most beautiful orchestra and voices I've ever heard in my life. Now, we like classical music. Not modern classical, but the old classic classics. And our daughter played in the symphony orchestra for 4.5 years, violin in Florida. It's very hard. They'd have an empty seat, and it'd be 56 kids from all over the state come, young people come, and audition for that one empty seat. All right? I heard the most beautiful Hebraic, is the only way I can describe it, music and singing I've ever heard in my life. I opened my eyes and looked. I didn't move. I was afraid it would stop. And I opened my eyes, and that clock said 2:20. For the next 20 minutes, I heard the sounds of heaven. I heard a gigantic choir of most beautiful voices. I heard modulation and chords and harmony that was beyond anything you've ever heard on this earth. 20 minutes later, it stopped. I quietly got out of bed. Now, let me tell you something else. You couldn't tell where the voices or the music was coming from. Again, it was complete surround sound. And I got up and I thought, someday I might tell this to someone. Lord, but you'll have to tell me when I can say it. But I am going through this house. It's 4,200 square feet. And I went through that house. There's not a radio, a TV, or anything else on. I knew I wouldn't find anything, but I just thought, if some skeptics sometimes say, yeah, but did you check the house? You just imagine it's coming up the stairs. My Lord, don't you believe in Almighty God and the sovereignty of God, the crown rights of Emmanuel? God can take a plowboy out here in the hills of Arkansas that hardly knows which end of the mule to stand on when he plows, and save him and fill him with the Holy Spirit and send him on a mission and lay a whole nation before God at the feet of Jesus. Now I'm going to get in something. I'll briefly. Can I have a few more minutes or not? I told you I forgive me because sometimes you could be with me 2 years and I never even tell an incident of myself. I just preach the word. But I thought it would be faith building and edifying to mention some of these things, new horizons, new openings. Now, God is omnipresent and He is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresence everywhere. And He is omniscience. He knows everything. Now, as we walk with God, He starts sharing this with us. Did you hear me? Some of you at the last camp, and I made you by faith lift your hand and say, for thine is the kingdom, the honor, or the kingdom, the glory. You remember? The kingdom, the power, the glory. Then I said, lift your hand again. Say, mine is the kingdom. Some of you wouldn't do it till I explained it. Oh, no, that's blasphemous. It is not. Jesus said in Luke 12 chapter, little flock, I give you the kingdom. If Jesus said He gives us a kingdom, I'm some of that little flock. Then mine is the kingdom. And you say, yeah, but it says power. We ain't got nothing. Why don't you wake up? Jesus is lying or you're lying. He said you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not weakness. Dynamite of glory. You shall receive power. So mine is the kingdom and mine is the power. Well, brother, God won't share His glory with anybody. You better read Isaiah 84 and 86 again. It didn't say that. He said God won't share His glory with idols. Then read 86 and He talks about His people, Israel, Israel, Israel. And He said they backslid, they're stubborn, they've gone astray, but I'm still not going to serve my glory with these other nations because they don't belong to me. God will share His glory with His own people. Well, brother, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe Jesus. John 17:22, He said, Father, the glory You've given Me before the foundation of the world, I share it with these My disciples. That ought to... Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, I mentioned omnipresence, omnipotent, and omniscience. What is the word of knowledge?
It's a little foretaste of what God, who God is. Who God is. God knows all things.
I've had people come in before me, and I've written a note to a skeptic in the office for us. And I say, I know who, I've never seen this man before, never heard him, but I'll tell you where he's from, I'll tell you who sent him, and I'll tell you he's in deception and where he's in deception. Even his business card. Some in the office took that business card after working hours and went out there to find his office, and it's a fake card. It's just a big, giant field there for half a mile. And I finally told him. Oh, boy, he's dressed in $800 silk black suit. Oh, he's polished. But I never do this. But I just took a pencil and bounced it while he's talking on the rubber eraser. Then I finally said, all right, brother, you've said enough. Now let me tell you something. I know who you are. I know who sent you. Man, I don't know who made a believer or not out of it. He got him rattled. But now, God inhabits time also. Not only that He is everywhere and that He is all-knowing and He's all-powerful. See, if you tell me one thing, reasonable thing God cannot do, you've destroyed the very concept of God. Either must be able to do everything or nothing. So, now, in a time element, God's not like we are. Nobody can define time. I've read the ancient Greek philosophers and right on up the books of the Western world, and you'd run all of the time and space and so forth, and nobody can really define it. One great man said, with scientific brain, I know what time is, but I can't tell it. He said, I try to explain it, and I can't. We're like on a bridge, and the water coming, and then it passed. The past, the present, and the future we see coming down the stream. But God inhabits an eternity, and God's not a minute older now than when He spoke the worlds into existence. Your mind and my mind cannot comprehend. Now get this, we cannot comprehend the beginning and ending of time. Neither can we comprehend the boundaries of space. Miss every star and every planet. And if you had a rocket ship and you could go at the speed of light, go, 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 you miss everything and there's nothing out there. Well, something's got to hold this universe. No, it's nothing. Well, something's got to hold nothing. No, there's nothing. See, that's abstract in our mind and it bogs down. So finally, we just give up. Now, what I want to say is, as you walk in the Spirit, God will start showing you things that you... And it's not a lot of criticism of other people trying to get everybody straightened out. But God will show you things supernatural. And then He does have that word of knowledge that He placed in the New Testament church, 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, one of the 9 spiritual gifts. But here's what I want to get into. As you walk in the Spirit, you'll get your past, present, and future mixed up. I have traveled across America preaching. And I've had the ministry team come and say, we got to talk with you. I said, surely. And I always expect some kind of suggestion or correction, but it's not. They say, this is getting weird. You scare us. I say, why? I had a reputable CPA and a reputable bookkeeper in my organization, and they trembled when I walked in the room. And I never did bawl them out or talk hateful to them. But they said, this man doesn't live in the present time. So, we don't try to be oddballs or anything, but here's what I'm talking about. The ministry team comes to me and they say, now, it's hard for us to explain this, but it's weird and it scares us. Said, you will talk to us and have prayer in that prayer room, and you will tell things. Did you know that you're telling things in the future? I never knew it. All at once, your past, present, future is completely mixed up. And in conversation, you'll mention things that's happening this week, and you didn't even know you're doing it. It's past to you. A friend of mine, before God took him home, he's a denominational man, but he really loved the Lord and is filled with the Holy Spirit. His wife called me, Oakland, California, and they lived up on a big mountaintop. Said, I'm worried about Earl. I said, yes, what is it, Pauline? Said, Earl lately, he'll discuss things, and he doesn't even know he's doing it, and they don't even happen till next Sunday. And he thinks they're already past. And any time I question, he thinks, wait a minute, what's going on here? Now, I'm not talking about being an oddball and you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But on the other side, don't get so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. But I've experienced this in a dear friend of mine. And brother, I can't explain it. It's not a vision. It's not a dream. But it's already settled in your mind. It's just like it's past history and it's never taken place yet. But God wants to share His omnipotence with us. His omnipresence with us. God is everywhere. Enoch got caught up in the Shekinah glory and he was everywhere. God wanted him to be. Enoch walked with God. Elijah was caught up. Did you hear it? Philip in the New Testament went to Samaria, had a citywide revival, went out in a desert, won the eunuch to God, the treasure of the queen of Ethiopia, got us so baptized, then God is so pleased, He lifted him up, translated him. Oh, let's get out of our old stinking religion, what I believe you believe, and let's just be saturated with God and His Spirit and His love and His power and His glory. I'm going to say it again. I've preached this for 25 years. I believe before this thing's over, you can preach in hot springs. God will translate you. You'll preach in, follow the sun. S-U-N-N-S-O-N. You'll preach all the way around the world and come back here tonight. No jet plane. Anything God's ever done, He's big enough to do it again. So God wants to share His kingdom, His power, His glory, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, and His knowledge, an all-knowing God. Now, I mentioned earlier visions. How many believe in visions and dreams? How many have ever had a godly vision or dream? All right, I'm going to take you a step farther. It's something more glorious than having a vision. You know what it is? Being the object of a vision. At Hagen's in Tulsa, there was a big convention. And Dr. Hagen, the late Dr. Hagen, not Junior, he went out through that big audience. And he kept walking, preaching. Then he stopped. He said, "Lady over there, that gray-haired lady, stand up." He said, "Thus saith the Lord God, 1 year from today," mark it down, "1 year from today, a man will come to your door. And your life will never be the same." And describe that man. 1 year later, I'm on TV in Miami. Just a guest. And I start leaving. And I said, the book that's published in Sweden recently, we need it published in Spanish. Do y'all know a good translator? And they talk. And they said, "Oh, wait a minute. We used to have a volunteer here, and she is a graduate of the university in Madrid, Spain, and she's real good. She loves the Lord and understands all biblical things." And I said, "Great." They gave me her name and address, and they called. I didn't call. Said, "Could this man..." They said, "When can you go to see her?" I said, "Well, I'm already downtown almost, and I'll just go on out to Kendall and see her." So we got in the car, BG and Francis and I, and we went out there. It's a big condominium complex. And I parked. And it's a little scary. For about 45, 50 years of my life, I never lost anything. I never forgot anything. I contribute that to God, not my ability. Even today, when Frances loses something I have nothing to do with, she'll say, "Oh, I've lost thus and thus." Sometimes I immediately tell her to where, go and see it, and it's there. Maybe it's partly the word of knowledge. I don't know what it is. But I went and we got the material and I went up on about the third or fourth floor to find this lady's room. And they had the balconies running the length of the building. And we found her apartment, her condominium. We rang the bell. She opened the door and she's in shock. Then she said, I knew she's frustrated, torn up. She says, come in. I looked and I said, "Of all things, I didn't bring all the manuscript." God was in this. So I went back. I said, "Go on in and excuse me, dear lady, just a moment and I'll be right back." I came back and she is almost out of her head weeping and crying. She went and got the calendar. She said, "1 year ago, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Hagen gave a prophecy and said, mark it down on the calendar. 1 year from now, a man you've never seen or heard about will ring your doorbell. You'll open the door and he has white hair. And said, your life will never be the same. I'm telling you, folks, it's one thing to have a vision, but it's another thing to be the object of vision. I spoke in Little Rock recently, 4.5 hours. I stopped, and they wouldn't let me stop. They'd all yell and said, no, we're not going home. And in the middle of that, a lady got up. And she's probably in her 35, 40 years old. She came up to me, and I thought, well, what's this? She want prayer or what? And she was weeping. A friend got up and came, stood by her, and said, Brother Clement, she's trying to tell you she waited 24 years till you got here. She has told me and all her Christian friends the vision she had and the message that a man would have about the glory of God for the last days, and said that's why she can't control herself. Then she fell on her face and was slain of the Spirit. I didn't touch her for a long time. Brother, that's being the object. Can I give you just one more? I was in South Africa. We called the local minister in this city. And he said, oh, where are you? I'll be there and I'll entertain you. I said, no, brother. We'll just meet you. Tell me how to get to the church tonight and we'll just meet you there. You have a busy schedule as a young minister and all. He said, well, I appreciate that, but I want to come. I said, no, we'll see you at service and then we'll see you after in fellowship. So we went in. It's a big Quonset hut. That's what I call them because it's over like this. And it's big. You see several hundred. So we got in, we sat down, people started coming in. So we started moving back and giving people families front rows. You know that when you go to a church and everybody's sitting in the back, it needs revival. It's backslidden. I mean it. There's one of the leading churches in Hot Springs, and God bless them, but everybody tries to sit in the back. I like the Russian Baptists. I preached for them in Michigan, and I got there early, and they took all of the back seats and left the preferred seats for their neighbor down in front. They fill the church from the back to the front. That's still all right with me. So we got there and we kept moving back. And the place, I was surprised, it filled. And over here, there was a long bench padded. And finally, there's no more seats. So our family got up to sit in them. Then a few people came and sat there. But we were seated in middle way. The pastor came, now, brother, we're ready to start service. Would you come up? I said, no. Please, just leave me here. Now, at the cathedral at Bath, I have to get in a robe and march down with them, you know, when I'm the speaker. But other times, I'm not going to be cross. They invited me, so I'm going to be, you know, if that's what they're, it doesn't hurt. Then climb in the high marble pulpit. The pastor preaches in the low. But I, as a guest, preach in the high. Okay? So the service begins. High platform. And what they do in South Africa, they make videos of all of the evangelists, especially overseas evangelists. Then they bicycle those to the other churches for Wednesday night or Friday night and show them so all of them can share. So the video camera was there. And so they got in praise and worship. Little BG got happy and she started praising. She started dancing, went down the aisle and went to the front. All at once, kids from all over the place, no one told them, got down there and packed and jammed the front, and all of them were swirling around and praising God. Pastor after service said, that's never happened here before. So service went on, and finally he introduced me. And I'm sitting there, and God inspired me. See, preachers, you need a little inspiration for those first little remarks. You can gain an audience. I know some of this sounds humanistic, or you can lose an audience in the first minute. God, ask God to give you inspiration how to open, regardless of what you're going to preach about or the subject. And get that little inspiration first. Now, it'll be easy going the rest of the time. It's like the audience already up there with you because of the anointing. So he introduced me. I used to scare him to death in the Church of England because I come up out of my seat preaching. You know, instead of all this introduction, 10 or 12 minutes and wasting time, I just come. So I came up out of my seat. I was preaching. And I was just quoting God's Word. So instead of going to the platform, I stood in the middle of the auditorium and I kept preaching. I was off camera, I guess, or at least probably just top of my head showing. But then I turned and I just kept preaching. Never missed a lick, quoting God's Word. There's some steep stairs. I got on those steps, and instead of doing this way, continue my preaching. I twisted on the steps backwards like this and preached the congregation for several minutes. Then I went on up to the pulpit. Well, a pastor and his family and a dear lady had to tell me a story. This lady was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and her family for generations belonged to the Church of England. But she went out there to this Quonset hut and really got saved, got filled with the Spirit. So the vicar of England, all of her family and friends and her husband, oh, come on back. You've got in some wildfire religion. Come on back to the Church of England. And you know what? They kept on and kept on till she was ready just to give up. But she came to her pastor and said, Pastor, do you believe in dreams and visions? He said, young pastor, he said, yes, I was going to preach on that before long. She said, well, sit down. I want to tell you something. She described that night completely. She said, we had a special meeting and the place is filled. He said, praise God. I've been praying and wanting that. And said, but down in the praise and worship, all these kids were down there at the front praising God. He said, that's fine. But said, listen to this. You won't believe it. The guest speaker wasn't on the platform with you. Said, you know that long bench no one ever sits on? He was over there in the middle, and he's a white-haired man. Said, when you introduced him, instead of him coming to the platform, he leaped up quoting scriptures. Even before he got up on his feet, he's quoting God's Word. He came in the front, and he preached 3 or 4 minutes like this, and said, and they started, both of them, everybody laughed. And he said, you haven't heard all of it. Then he goes over those steep steps, and instead of turning like this so he can meet the audience, he twisted way backwards like this. Boy, after that service, she said, they can take the whole world. Just give me Jesus. She had a vision of this months. And I sent no picture. I didn't send any advertising material. Brother, it's wonderful to have dream and vision, but I want you to know God wants us as the object and subject of those dreams and visions also. Praise the Lord. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
All right. And I'm just going to skip some things and close. You remember there's a scripture that says God is their belly. Forgive me. No. But I tell you, I'm showing you some of the foretaste. God has forerunners. If I had another hour, I could go to God's Word and show in the mouth of two or three witnesses that God is going to take, not everybody, and people don't like this, God's going to take a select few that really means business with God. And He is going to manifest His glory, not the glory of the Son, that's great, not the glory that we give the Son of God or the Holy Spirit. People start getting mixed up here because of tradition and other things. But the Shekinah glory, when you're saved, God the Son has a house, a habitation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you're filled with the Spirit, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You're bought with a price, and that's the precious blood of Christ. And you're not your own. Your body belongs to God. But the Holy Spirit has a house. But God the Father does not have a house till the church, Ephesians, second chapter, last 3 or 4 verses, grows in to a habitation. The members of the body of Christ become living stones. Christ is the head of the church, but He is the chief cornerstone of the house. And God said, where is the house that you will build me? And where God the Father is, now we have the Father, but we only have Him through and in and by the Son, through and in and by the Holy Spirit. But God said He's going, that the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth like the sea. And again it said that all flesh shall see the glory of the Lord. And there's numerous scriptures. I have them here, but I won't take time now because you've been very patient. But the Shekinah glory is the next thing God wants to do. If you're just trying to hang on and be ready, if God comes back and snatches us out of here, you forget it. Be ready to live, ready to die, ready for rapture, ready for persecution, then you're ready. But especially ready for the next step that God's going to do. You remember I mentioned the revelation? No earth-shaking revival ever comes without a renewed revelation of God. In the Reformation, God said, I'm a righteous God. How can man be made righteous? The just shall live by faith. That brought the Reformation. 200 years later, God said, I'm a holy God. He's always been a righteous God, a holy God. But He said, I'm a holy God, a holy God. How can man be made? See, with every great move of God, there's a fresh or refreshed revelation. Not what God does. Forget that now. It's who God is. And then who we are. Then the Holy Spirit manifests that revelation in our lives. See, the just shall live by faith, a righteous God, and be righteous in Christ. Be ye holy, for I am holy, and we can live godly, holy lives. And then God, at the turn of the last century, 100 years ago, said, I'm God the Holy Spirit. He's always been the Holy Spirit. But He emphasizes, especially from 1885, a few in England, back in 1847, but God said, I am God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That brought the so-called Pentecostal revival all around this world. God can send revival to any congregation, any home, all over this earth if we'll just meet God's condition. But I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God said, will He dwell with man? And where is the house that ye will build me? And if you go into Zechariah, the 6th chapter, verse 12 and 13, and also in chapter 3, it said, my servant, and the branch, he shall build the temple of the Lord. Not the body of Christ, but the temple of God. There's more said in God's Word about the chief cornerstone than He is about the church or Christ, the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. We are members in this body. But the church is not an end in itself. God is preparing us for something greater, and that is the Shekinah glory that shows that God is unlimited by time, space, or natural laws, and all things are possible with God. And God's glory is going to cover this earth like the waters do the sea, and all flesh shall see the glory of God. And Haggai 2:9, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. Stand to your feet. Now, Lord, we're candidates. We are candidates. We're called by Your name. You know who we are. You know us by name. Lord, we want that greater glory of the latter house. We want that transformation that we as members of the body of Christ are changed into lively stones to build a spiritual habitation for the Lord our God. And we know where God the Father is in really manifest presence. The Shekinah glory is there. And You want to share that glory with Your believers. We don't take glory away from You. We glorify You by receiving what You give us. And Lord, we know when we got saved, You're not lesser God. When we're healed, You're not lesser God. When you're filled with the Spirit, it didn't strip you of your power. And you have all glory, and you want to share that glory. And that dynamic glory of Almighty God. And dear friend, in this prayer, I want to remind you, I'm not talking about the glory that goes to Jesus. All glory goes to Him. Praise God. I'm not talking about 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and on, I believe, starting in the 3rd, and that is the glory, the greater glory of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about something beyond all of this. That is still, for this hour, that's still babyhood Christianity. We're seeking God for what God can do instead of who God is. Forget the works of God. Seek the ways of God, and you'll have all the works of God you can stand. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then these things shall be added unto you. You don't need healing. I don't need healing. We need more God, and we'll have healing. Amen. We don't need a miracle. We need the miracle worker. Amen. We don't need answer to prayer. We need God. He said, thou that hearest and answer prayer. And like the psalmist said, I am prayer. I am peace. I am love. That is a confession for the name. And He said, build a house, not for me, but for my name. And that house built for His name. God the Father is going to dwell in it. And where God the Father is, there is the Shekinah glory. God bless you, everyone. Yes.